How's it, everyone? How are you doing? And how was your week? Well, my name is Dion Bicycle, and I hope you are ready for another episode of The Balanced Mind. The past few weeks, we talked more in depth about wellness, and more specifically, we talked about seven factors. We talked about emotional, environmental, financial, intellectual, occupational, physical, and social wellness. Well, tonight we're going to look at them again, but we're going to look at them as a whole. And we're going to recap on each of them. And then I'm going to share some of my thoughts on them as well. So I hope you have your cup of coffee ready, as I do, and or a cup of tea. And I hope you're in your favorite chair, or maybe you are in the car listening to this episode. Well, I hope you're ready, because we're going to have a swell time doing today's show. So let's talk about emotional wellness. Remember, emotional wellness isn't about being positive the whole time. I mean, come on, guys. If you are positive 24/7, you will be so exhausted. I mean, think of these people who always smile, and they're just like an energy bunny jumping up and down the whole time. Just looking at them makes me tired. That's not emotional wellness. No. You see, one's life is like a piano, right? You can't just hit one note and keep on that note for your whole life. No, there's lower notes, there's higher notes, and together they make a beautiful piece of music. And so is life. You're gonna have bad days, good days. You're not always going to have an awesome day. It's part of life. But we've learned in emotional wellness that emotional flexibility is what we strive for, because we experience a wide range of feelings without letting any single one of them completely take over the driver's seat. In other words, yes, you can get angry, or you can get super excited or super sad, but that one emotion cannot be the basis of your whole life. Emotions are there to experience them. They are there to tell you things about your life and about somebody else's life, but it varies. I think about people with bipolar. I usually explain to them that it's fine to go through emotions, up and down emotions. But it's when you get extremely happy and extremely sad very quickly when there might be a problem. But the point is, you go through emotions. For instance, in the morning you had a good breakfast, you drove to work, and there was no traffic and you were happy. But the first thing you heard when you entered the office was that you have a new deadline by lunchtime. And finally your mood dips. But that's okay. It's allowed to dip. It's allowed to. And after the deadline, your mood picks up again. And if you're lighter, that doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. That just tells you that you are a human being with emotions. And it's fine to have those. We just need to learn to regulate them and to identify them. Yes, of course, there are gray areas that can lead to burnout. For instance, these small little things that can lead to burnout, but like emotional burnout, yeah? Constantly, your phone keeps on sending you notifications, second after second after second. That works on our emotions negatively. A small disagreement with colleagues. It might not be a huge thing in the office, but it does have an influence on you. And when it does, you need to recognize that emotion and you need to feel it and control it or manage it so that it won't become or mess up your whole day. Yeah. And again, if you want to protect your emotional wellness, it's also very important to put boundaries in place and guilt-free boundaries. Remember, most people put a boundary in place, but then they feel sad about it or they feel bad about it because they don't want to put a boundary there. It's not about how it makes you feel. Remember, a boundary is there to protect what is important to you. So if your emotional wellness is important to you, let's put boundaries in place when it comes to emotions. For instance, when you get angry, let's put a boundary in place if something makes you angry every day. For instance, an email is late and it angers you. Why not put a boundary in there? What are you going to do not to get angry and lose all your energy? Because remember, emotions take a lot of energy out of you. And you need to be certain where you're going to allow your energy to flow freely and where you're going to stop it. And that is a good example of emotional wellness and how boundaries protect you. And also just a good thing to know is boundaries is there to protect your peace so that your boat don't wobble on a sea but can steer straight forward to where you want it to be. Second one is physical wellness. Now, remember, your body is going to be your home for the rest of your life. Doesn't matter how long you live or how short you live, you have to take care of it. And wellness, physical wellness, it's important to know that we need to move our body. Let's not think about exercise. Let's just think about movement. Think about when you sit for 2 hours in a meeting. First thing you do is you jump up and you stretch because the body needs motion. So that's very, very important. Also, we said that movement takes away a lot of daily pains. For instance, like I said, you sit in a chair for too long. And when you move, you feel better. We also have learned that how important it is to feel our bodies. It's very important to keep on eating something. You can't go for days, or not just days, for a day without food. Your body needs fuel. Think about it this way. If you don't put petrol into your car, it's not going to go anywhere. And that's exactly what happens with our bodies. And remember, drinking water is very, very important. And enough water. And if you struggle with water, why don't you put some lemon juice in there or something that will just give you a taste of a flavor. Also that we've learned is how important is sleep. If we don't sleep, our body can't recover. It cannot grow. It cannot heal itself. It's very important to remember to have a good night's rest. And we also did a quite in-depth episode on sleep a month or two ago. You can go listen to that as well. Then fitness. Now, fitness, when I say fitness, I'm not saying you're the muscle guy and the lady with the beautiful legs in the gym and they look pretty good and stuff. No. Let's talk about why fitness is important. Wellness is important. It's important because it keeps your heart strong. And that is very important. Your heart is the center of your body. To keep it well, we need to move. We need to do some sort of exercise. And also, it teaches our muscles resilience when we exercise. Yes, being super fit is good, but just movement and staying a level of fitness is also great. And then also, when you take care of your body, your physical wellness, it's a sign of your deep respect towards your own body and how you use it. It's very important. Remember, physical wellness is not about being a model on a cover. It's not that. Physical wellness is about keeping your body strong to do what you need it to do in order to stay alive, in order to move, but to come out strong. And that's why we need to look at our physical bodies and take care of it. So let's look at intellectual wellness. Intellectual wellness is about your mind and how to keep it sharp. It's not supposed to say, okay, you need to be a genius to be intellectual wellness, to achieve it. Not at all. It's about keeping it sharp and ready like a pencil. Ready to go. See, keeping your mind vibrant, keeping it active. And by doing that, you grow. You don't stay at one place. Your mind is there to grow. It's all about staying curious, learning something new on a daily basis. But listen, it's not about going and do courses every single day and achieving A's and all those things. It's not about that. Intellectual wellness, keeping your mind sharp by learning every single day something new. And it can be small or big. It can be as small as the meaning of a new word. It can be as fun as learning a new song or learning to play a guitar. That is learning. And so in that, you keep your mind vibrant, fit and strong. It can be a shield also to protect yourself from stress and anxiety and memory loss, because your brain is active and it keep on learning. So that's actually the bottom point of intellectual wellness. Is keep on learning something new that you don't already know. You're staying curious, and by thinking about a problem or a topic, whether it is at work or when you discuss something new with your friends, that causes the brain to think. And so the brain or the mind is alive. And that is what we want for intellectual wellness. Also, to keep our wellness going on or growing, we can focus on creativity, painting, writing songs, cooking a new meal or a new recipe, or maybe you want to try something of your own design. Do it. It's fun. Creativity is the most wonderful way to keep your brain active, learning new words, crossword puzzles. It's incredibly good for this because you are learning and you're creating words that you don't already know, but you're also learning the meaning of it. It's great to keep your brain active. And people, I just want to say, stay clear. I know we like a lot of short videos on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, but don't concentrate on that because it can make your memory span shorter and also your concentration span. We do not want that. We don't want that for your mind. It is not intellectually well to do that. Rather listen to a podcast, read a book, or do something that keeps you thinking vibrant. So protect your intellectual wellness. So let's move on to occupational wellness. Now, before you think this is a corporate lecture about your career goals, let's clear up the difference right away. Intellectual wellness is about how you stretch your brain across your whole life. Like reading a book, like we said, learning a new hobby, or staying curious. Occupational wellness is specifically about your job. It's how you mix your daily work, your career path, and your unique talents without losing who you are in the process. It's the art of making a living without completely losing your own life. You're not supposed to lose yourself within your work. You as a person is very important. So that's why occupational health is what you do for a living mostly. What do you do for a paycheck? See, there's a difference between who you are and what you do. And those are two different identities. People often identify themselves with their job. For instance, if someone is a doctor and someone asks them, so what do you do? The question is, what work do you do? And then they identify and say, oh, I am a doctor. What then happens is they put the person with the occupation and think, okay, these two go together. That is not good. Rana answers something like, yo, you know what? I work in medicine. Because in medicine, there's a range of occupations what you can do that work within medicine. And that keeps the pressure off from yourself. By saying what you do for a living directly can cause stress on a conversation, and it can put you into a box and people can say, oh, you're doing this job. Okay, so you are A, B, C, and D. We don't want that. We don't want our occupation to become our identity. It's two separate things. So, your job should not damage you as a person. If there is damage, then the price of work is too high, meaning if you can't separate yourself from your occupation and your occupational wellness from being who you are, then there's a serious question that you need to ask yourself. Am I willing to continue with this job and retreat as a person, or am I going to be true to myself and be who I am and let I do or practice my occupation without losing myself? Now, we also need to talk about a burnout. Let's clear the air right away. If you look online or listen to standard corporate talk, Burnout is almost always described as a personal flaw. You've probably heard it before. People imply that if you're burning out, it's because you aren't organized enough, or you aren't tough enough, or you're just failing at your time management. Maybe someone told you that you just need to do more breathing exercises, practice yoga on the weekends, or download a mindfulness moment type app, right? But I want to tell you that the entire throw out the entire narrative out window. It is completely wrong, and honestly, it is insulting. I am not just making up this to make you feel better. The World Health Organization officially states in the international guidelines that burnout is not a medical illness or a personal failure. They explicitly classify it as an occupational phenomenon, meaning it is the direct result of chronic workplace stress that a company's system has failed to manage successfully. It is a structural failure of your work environment, not a personal failure of your character. It happens when an employee is asked to run a marathon at the sprinter's pace, with zero water breaks, with a broken system, and then blame the legs for giving out. To protect your peace, you have to understand how this exhaustion works and learn how to spot the red flags before they completely take you down. Now, let's look at three of these red flags. One is an empty battery. So that is when you just sit on your bed or you sit in your chair at work and you realize, I can't lift my hands, my arms. I can't do this. I can't walk. I can't even go to the bathroom. I can't move. I'm just too tired. That is a very clear sign that you can be burning out. Then we get, secondly, is a sour outlook. When we are negative about everything, oh, the pencil broke. Oh, the paper is done. I can't believe the paper is done. The coffee machine, the paper is done. Oh, no. Oh, the coffee is also done. Oh, no. The milk is not there. Oh, no. I need to go see the CEO. When everything is sour, doesn't matter what you do, everything is sour. Also very important to notice. And then, lastly, the third thing is doubting yourself. As the fatigue and the criticism settles in, your actual performance at work starts to slide and you struggle to focus. You make small mistakes and you miss deadlines. When you look at your output, a wave of self-doubt hits you. So, yes, struggle to focus. When you sit at your laptop, you know what you need to type, but you can't finish a sentence. You're physically struggling to get your thoughts onto a paper. And then, when it happens, you start doubting yourself. Oh, I can't do this. I'm not clever enough to do this. Oh, this is not me. Oh, I'm gonna, the whole company is gonna sink or close down because of me. Those are just symptoms you can look at that tells you that you are tired and burned out. So, yeah. Can you maybe identify one or two from those points in yourself right now? So let's talk about social wellness. Social wellness is not about being famous or being around people every single waking hour, just in order to be around people and talk to them and have coffee and have a drink and do fun stuff. No, that's not social wellness. Social wellness is about being connected, but not like a spider web where every web is connected to somebody else. It's just about being connected to other people. The thing is, connection doesn't need to be with everything and everybody. Did you know that to be truly connected and have truly social wellness, you need to be connected with five different people? You know, if you think about it, you might say, but Dion, there's more than five people in my life. I mean, I have people at work, people at church, people at the group, people at the club, people at spa, and I'm all connected to them. Yes, you are. But tell me, with all those people that you name now, do you have a personal connection with them? You know, a connection where you can be safe and where you can be vulnerable. I bet you that you are not going to tell your innermost secrets or failures to the person that you connected with at the spa or in the gym. You're going to talk and how was your day, and that's fine, but truly being vulnerable with them. No. You can only be truly connected and vulnerable to five people. Now, that can be obviously your immediate family, extended family, your friends. For me, for instance, there's one professional person that I'm connected with, and I share only certain things with that person in a professional space, but I feel secure enough to be able to talk about my vulnerabilities. Then I have my best friend. Well, he's in Cape Town, but with him, I can relax and I can say, you know what, my friend, I messed up. And what do you think about the decision I'm about to make? Also, those five people have a direct line to you, and they can talk to you directly, and they can say whatever they're thinking without you feeling bad, because you know that other person has the best thing on their heart for you. You can trust them. And remember, it's not with everyone that you have it. You have it with as few as five people. And also, in social wellness, we have boundaries. Remember, in our friendship episode, we said that we have people who, if you imagine your heart or your life as a house, you invite them to your porch, but you don't invite them in. So you share certain things that they need to know when they're there. People in your living room, you have a different friendship with. And even then, even those people that's in your living room don't go to your bedroom. You only invite a few people to your bedroom, because there is the utmost vulnerability. But with each room, there's certain boundaries. And so, in other words, there's certain people in your life that you don't talk about certain things of your life. You don't talk about your secrets. You don't always talk about what you want or what you want to do. There's boundaries. And that's why you need to set them there to protect yourself from being socially depleted. You also need to protect what's inside. Protect your energy. Protect you as a person. It's also, lastly, on social wellness, is the adaptability to end work time and connect with people who care about conversation and spending time that energize you. Those are the five people. But you can go to work and you can spend the whole day with your colleagues, but when that time ends, that conversation also ends. And there we can put down a boundary and say, okay, we can talk tomorrow again during work hours. When the working day is done, I spend my quality time with the one I love. Next one is financial wellness. Now, remember I said I'm not there to tell you about your spreadsheets and your budget, and I'm not a financial genius. Oh, please, I'm not. But I do know that there is emotion that is connected when it comes to your finances. See, many people think by not having enough money, they are nothing or worthless. They don't deserve to be in a relationship. And that's totally wrong. You see, when you're mature enough to see the emotion behind a bill or your bank balance, then you realize that you are important. Your importance as a person is not connected to your financial part. Remember, money is only a type of a transaction. I give you this amount of money so I can have this thing. But that thing doesn't explain your self-worth. Just because you drive a Mercedes or a Land Rover doesn't mean that you're this big boss and, oh, we need to be scared of you. No, it's merely a vehicle. Merely a vehicle. See, security should not be in your money. Security needs to come from the inside, from your wellness. Knowing that I don't have a cent on my name right now, but I am valued as a person and I can give value. Doesn't matter what my bank balance looks like. So yes, it's good to have money, but don't let it define your life or tell you who your friends should be. Money itself is only a transaction. I'll give you this amount of money and you'll give me something else. But the transaction should never involve your soul, meaning telling you what are you worth. Just because you don't have a lot of money doesn't mean you are worthless as a person. That's a big no-no. Then we're going to look at environmental wellness. Now, environmental wellness is where you work and play. Where you go to work, where you play, is it good to you? For instance, I used to live in a small town in Gauteng, but the town is breaking down. There's not even roads anymore. People lost their jobs. The economy within the town is not good. And I realized, but if I stay in this town, I'm not going to grow as a person. It's going to put unnecessary stress on me and I'm not going to grow and be the person I want to be. And so I decided, let's go out. Let's move to a better town with more opportunity and that will be more better for me. Then we also, we will work and play. So this is where we choose where we hang out with our friends. Which mall we go to. And you'll see that mall you go to, you'll sense that you feel safe in that mall. And that's very, very important. Also, when it comes to your workplace, you'll find if you're happy in your job, a part of your job is about where you live or play, but also work, where you work. So many people say, you know what, I function better within an office setting. Other people would say, I function better when I'm at home and when I work from home. It's much more easier for me. And that is a thing we always need to look for. Where you work and how you work from there is very important. I mean, think about it. How many people really stay in a job if their work environment is not friendly towards them or they don't feel positive about where they work? Then we have to look at their environmental wellness. Welcome back after the break, and let's start with the last segment of today's episode. So, why did I take you on a journey to discuss and go into more depth about these 7 wellness factors? Well, when you come to me in my practice, that is the basis of where I start with a person. I give them some sort of questionnaire, about 10 questions about each of these factors, and then we just see what they rate out of 10. And then I take notice of the lowest count and where in which factor that falls. And from there, I go on with my counseling. So many times, people say, yeah, but Dion, say my emotional wellness is low and it influences my occupational wellness, which is my job. And that is true. See, we can't separate each of these factors into its own box. The one influences the other. For instance, if you're a person that gets anger quickly, then in your workplace, you will get into confrontations because people will disagree with you. And if you don't understand how to manage your emotions, you won't be able to manage all your circumstances at your workplace. Same goes for if we look at environmental wellness. If you live in a place that directly affects your health, then your environmental wellness and your physical wellness, because remember, in physical is also your health. Goes hand in hand, and if those one is bad, the other one will be bad as well. So they do interact with one another. And then when you come to me, many people would say, okay, Dion, I came to you because I have this problem. And then we work on it. But we also look at those questionnaires. And then we draw a pencil marking between each factor and see how we can change small things or big things that will lead to a better wellness. So, what is the big goal here? What is the big goal when it comes to wellness? Well, the biggest thing for me it doesn't matter what your circumstances is like right now. Whether you're in a good circumstances where there's no financial pressure, there's no emotional pressure, all of the things, you're in a good place. Or maybe you're in a difficult place where you don't have food, or you don't have a job, or currently you're living with somebody else. Either way, the goal is the same, and that is to improve your quality of life. So, in the meeting you have with me, I sit and we work together. I'm not a doctor who gives you a prescription on what you need to do to have a better quality of life. We work together on what we can improve in our wellness in order to get better quality of life. For instance, let's take emotional wellness. Maybe I can teach you on how to identify an emotion and help you identify what it does physically in your body. And then I'm going to ask you, how do you want to handle this emotion so it won't disrupt your whole day or week? And maybe you can say, okay, Dion, if I go for a walk or I drink a glass of water or something like that, then we write it down and say, okay, this is what you do. And then I send you out and I said, okay, go for the next week until we meet again and go practice what you've written down, so that you can see if it works or if it doesn't work. Also, let's say you live in a house where there's other people that really works on your nerves and it causes you not to have a peaceful dwelling at home. Then we can work on that relationships regarding your environmental wellness, and we can see what we can change. And maybe it is just small things. Usually it's small things that we can change within your mindset that can bring you a better environmental wellness. Other times it can be as drastic as I can say to you, don't you think it will be better for your health, for your wellness, to completely move house? Or otherwise, you can just move to another room, for instance. You swap a room with somebody else. That also changes the environment where you live in. So we change and we have certain things that we do to see what, if we change something small, how will it contribute to your ultimate quality of life? You know, there's really people that with this social wellness, one of two things, they overcommit to a lot of people and then they disappoint people. And they disappoint themselves because of the overcommitment, or you get someone who don't commit at all because they are scared that they will disappoint someone if they connect to that person. So, see, there's a lot of ways in which we can work on to better wellness for one person. Also, it's very important to understand that you are in control of your wellness. You need to make the decisions. I am not going to make a decision. I will say, okay, here's the suggestion. What do you think of A, B, and C? But you have to say, Dion, I like option B, or I like option C, or can we combine A and B maybe? Because remember, I don't know what your life is like. I only know what you tell me. And I can only help you achieving a better quality of life if you share it with me. But you are in control. So many people throw their hands in the air and say, like, oh no, I don't have wellness because look at my circumstances and I can't do anything about it. They play a victim. They play a victim of their circumstances. Personally, I don't like those people. Because really, why do you play victim? Because you can change it. Yes, stuff happened to you, but you can change the narrative. You can change the narrative. But you have to want to. Whenever you go to see someone, whether it's me or another therapist or a doctor or a psychiatrist, psychologist, always remember, they're not going to make a decision for you because they are not living your life. You are. They can only help you and equip you to do the changes that is necessary for you to have a better quality of life. But they're not going to do it for you. And I know some of us are lazy and we don't want to do it. We just want to do what people tell us to do and that's it. And when it doesn't work, we can blame them. It was their fault. It was their plan. No. Your life, your responsibility. Take control. Make good decisions. And if you struggle with those decisions, why don't you come and see me? I am here to listen to you and to guide you, to help you and to support you. I will listen and I will ask questions on what we can do together for you to have a better quality of life. My work is based on wellness. What you can do to change the narrative despite what the world tells you. Despite you feeling a victim. Take your control. Take your life back. And live your life to the fullest. You don't get another one. You will never get another chance. You have today. But if you really struggle, why don't you contact me? I would love to help you. I would love to be in a conversation with you and see how I can assist you for you to get a better quality of life. And no, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to prescribe you medicine. I'm not going to admit you to hospital. Nothing like that. It's all about you and me. And if you have a problem with finance, my fees are really reasonable. But for that, you need to phone me and ask me. And here's my number. If you want to talk to me on 061-588-0651. And my name is Dion Bicycle. And if you don't want to call me, send me a text. Just tell me where you heard me. If you heard me on the radio or podcast, just tell me. Also, you can contact me through Facebook. And that is the Facebook page of Dion Bicycle. There are avenues for you to connect. Why don't you call me? Why don't you connect? So, that brings us to the end of our journey on wellness. There's lots more to say on each of these factors, but time was limited, and I want to encourage you to go and look and read up on it more, and you'll see how your life can change for the better. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. But until next time, stay connected. Stay tuned. And remember to keep your balance on a bicycle and in life. You must keep on moving. Cheers for now.